All right, Porzingis, he's got a point. It wasn't there, but if you tail the crown jewel parlay tonight of the NBA Finals Game 5, Jason Tatum, 3 assists, we need 6. Derek White, 5 points, we need 16. Boston minus 7. They currently are up 17-15 with 2:50 left in the first quarter. But we do this every night that we do this show for 3 hours on After Hours. Call the out of left field question. Grant, if you'd like, you know the button to push. Let's get to it. I'll give you some time. Don't worry about it. I can find if you need. Uh-oh. There it is. It's the same sort of setup every night. I flip the coin, heads or tails. Grant, you've won the toss. You can either receive or defer on the question of the greatest documentary you've ever seen on the out of left field question. Grant, kicking or are you taking?
I'll receive.
Okay.
I'll receive because I don't got much in my first game plan. Okay. My first 15 script is not that great.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with it. OJ, Made in America. I think that's the best documentary I've ever seen.
I believe that's what the boss said, too, because OJ Simpson died not too long ago.
Well, and that's partially, I've just rewatched it when he died. So I just watched it a couple weeks ago. It is still really good.
It holds up. It's one of those documentaries that, like you, we mentioned earlier, like you weren't alive, right? But you watch that and you know that your whole life is OJ has always been kind of this person of, you know, interest or someone that we all followed even after he was acquitted. And it's like, okay, you know, here we go. But what is it? OJ Made in America? Is that the name of the documentary?
I believe so, yeah. It's 5 parts on ESPN.
It was great.
It covers such a, it covers him from the time he was a high school kid, essentially, all the way up through his incarceration in Vegas.
I would say if I want to take the sports route, boy, The Last Dance was great. Now, I will say The Last Dance also is maybe of recency bias because we were all in the middle of a pandemic, the start of a pandemic, with nothing really to watch. And there were two pretty big documentaries that came out during that sort of time frame in our lives.
King.
Now, Tiger King was one of those where, like, I didn't know what I was watching, but I couldn't stop watching, which I always give those sort of documentaries a little bit of love when it comes to that because of if it's keeping you entertained and you don't know why, but you're still there, it's got to be good for some reason. So 913-586-7610. Mine is probably The Last Dance as the greatest documentary I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Because, like, I was young with Jordan, right? I didn't know the whole background story of Michael Jordan. I knew North Carolina. I knew greatest player of all time. I knew they won 2 different three-peats. Bulls were one of the greatest sports team ever. A lot of people idolized Michael Jordan from all different ages. 913-586-7610. Other ones that are good. Fyre Fest was fantastic. Billy McFarland being a complete clown. 913 says, The Hornet's Nest is a documentary with 2 war correspondents embedded with my platoon in Afghanistan in 2010. Great documentary. Had to watch it when they started talking about the guys we lost. So you've got a little bit of a connection there. That's pretty interesting. 816, the original Woodstock documentary. Woodstock 99, also very interesting. When the Leaves Broke, Spike Lee joint. Haven't seen that. Somebody from the 913 says Fyre Fest. And then somebody from the 816 says Wolf Jewels. Great show tonight. I guess we got a new nickname. Shout out to the best music doc ever, The Last Waltz. Never seen it.
816 says Civil War by Ken Burns. Did you ever see any of the Ken Burns stuff?
The baseball one, and
Jazz
I watched...
Jazz is good, too.
Yep, I watched the Ken Burns country documentary as well, which I thought was interesting, too, because when I was a kid, country music ran everything from, like, 1990 to, like, 96. I felt like country music was at its biggest it's ever been. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's, like, way before that. But I thought it was interesting, the Ken Burns doc, with the evolution of country music, how basically Garth Brooks was good and bad for country music. Because they talk about in the documentary how Garth Brooks and radio stations, everybody wanted to hear Garth Brooks songs. So like DJs would be like, every like hour we played two Garth Brooks songs, which means you couldn't play other country music songs that might be good as well. You just had to hear Thunder Rolls and Shameless over and over again, even though it might have been guys like Sammy Kershaw, Hal Ketchum, Doug Stone, you know, all these other guys that were making music, but it was like, yeah, it's Garth Brooks. And it's like all these other guys didn't get play because everybody wanted to hear Garth, which Garth helped put country music up on the top pedestal of the map, but also hurt in the same sense because he was taking all the airwaves from everybody else. Sound City Studios, done by Dave Grohl in 2013. Great documentary. Love me some Davey G.
We got a couple folks putting in Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams is good. It's long.
Hoop Dreams is good. It is very long.
Very long, but very good. Don't Blink with Cats. That was one that came out where I was like, I don't know what this is. Our Father. That was another one that was interesting. It was like a mob doc.
Did you ever see Free Solo? Did you watch that one?
Uh-uh.
The guy where he climbs the mountain without any... he goes rock climbing up the face of a cliff.
Oof.
With no... He's not strapped in at all.
Does he make it?
Yeah, he makes it. He's an incredible climber. Still alive. Alex Honnold. But I'm super scary to watch him climb up like basically a sheer rock wall.
Five Came Back on Netflix. It's about the award-winning directors that left Hollywood to join the Army and film the World War II. It's amazing hearing from their stories. Last Chance You.
It's our favorite guy right there.
Yeah, Jay Brown, baby. You're a fanboy. Two great documentary films, not series. Man on Wire. Stringing a wire between two skyscrapers and then doing his unauthorized high wire walk. My Octopus Teacher. An amazing animal documentary with a great story. Somebody also chimes in and says, Man on Wire was really good also. My buddy told me I need to watch one that's called, like, How to Rob a Bank. It's on Netflix right now. He said it's pretty interesting. I'm currently in the middle of Hitler and the Nazis. I'm like Shane Gillis in that stand-up where he's like, I'm not a conservative, but it's coming. I find myself watching World War II docs all the time. Hard Knocks with the Chiefs in 2007 is classic. I believe that's the one where they had Herm Edwards telling them to go to Krispy Kreme and get them donuts. And they had Dwayne Bowe, like, saran wrap to the goalpost. My Stepmother Mary, favorite topic of this show. I like the country music one they did that followed the music from the beginning till now. I don't know what that name of it is. That's the Ken Burns Country Music Doc. It's good. It's like eight parts. Sammy Kershaw, Yard Sale, is the most real-life country song ever. If you live long enough. Dude, Sammy Kershaw is just awesome. Cadillac Style. Don't Go Near the Water. Anywhere But Here. Yard Sale. I could go on forever with Sammy Kershaw. You know that right there, man. Sammy's what they called him. He used to wear a saddlebag on his shoulder and play the acoustic guitar. You better believe it, with the most impressive receding hairline you've ever seen outside of Landon Donovan. I still don't know what the hell is going on with Landon Donovan's hair. 913-586-7610. What's your favorite documentary of all time? Project 11 from the 816. Quarterback from the 913. Grizzly Man by Werner Herzog. Hanging Low. Europa, The Last Battle. Never saw it. 30 for 30 Broke is good. There's not a lot of 30 for 30s I didn't like.
Yeah, I must say, that's a pretty high hit right there.
I love the greatest story never told, the Marcus Dupree story.
How's it going?
Where you found out how much of an ass Barry Switzer was. Oh, you're hurt. You're too soft to play. Then don't play, baby. He goes out there and plays and, like, basically gets hurt.
Between that one and the Bosworth doc.
Yep.
Don't come away great feeling about Barry Switzer.
Not really. From Earth to the Moon, HBO in the late 90s. It was excellent. Restrepo, that was an interesting one. That's one of the first docs I ever watched. That was a tough one to watch, actually. 42 is a doc movie was pretty amazing. Pony Express, SMU Scandal is fire.
The U is a good one, too.
The U's good. Part one and part two. That's how good it was. They did two parts on it.
And what was the one with the Michigan one, the Fab Five one?
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Restrepo is one of the first docs I ever watched, to be honest with you. I remember watching that. That was like one of those like first person sort of war documentaries. Dear Zachary, very sad, but was sent to legislators and changed the law in Canada. Powerful. Tiger King not getting any respect.
I know Tiger King was big.
Yeah.
Because I watched Tiger King with my parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did your like dad ever have that moment where he's like, oh, God, why are we watching this? I think
we only watched one or two episodes together, but like.
Guess what, mother?
There were a few of them where I looked over like, tough call.
I remember watching that Tiger King documentary, and I remember being like, we all know that this isn't him singing, right? Tiger or a Man or whatever that song was called. And he ended up marrying like two bros on the same day.
Did you watch any of the follow-up ones?
No.
They like the went after some of
Carol
the
Carol Baskin?
Yeah. And like the one guy that was like a cult leader or whatever?
Yeah. There's just a lot of interesting things. I remember watching the Firefest one. That guy was just, he hit that line where he said, Billy McFarland said we needed water. So I did what I had to do to get us some water. And we know what he did. Maybe it's the Gen X in me, but the new Brad Pitt doc or Brat Pack? Oh, Brat Pack doc. Andrew McCarthy directed was great. So was the Cyndi Lauper one recently released. Making a Murderer, also great.
That was a good one. I'm not big on what's it called, true crime, but yeah. That was good.
That dude definitely did it. Like, yeah. After I watched it, like they made it like the only thing I thought was really wrong is how they like interrogated the son in school. And he's like, so do I get to go back to class now? No. You're going to jail.
Well, if I remember right, he was...
A little slower than most.
He was very... Didn't seem appropriate.
There was some sort of ism that he might have had. Somebody says, Don't F with Cats would have been huge if it came out during COVID. No doubt, dude. They found that dude on the internet. And they all got together as like an internet group and figured out who he was. My buddy Chris, he just sent me a text and said, Vidalia by Sammy Kershaw. Another banger. Because you know Vidalia. Why do you always got to make me cry? It's like cutting up onions, but the girl's name's like, come on now. Sammy Kershaw, man. I Am Heath Ledger. Haven't seen it, but I guarantee I know how it ends. The Wrecking Crew from the 816. Haven't seen it. How to Rob a Bank is the next one in my queue list on Netflix, because I'm currently, for some reason, I don't know why.
I forgot this, but my mom texted in. Uh-huh. The Tiger King is from where my parents are from in Western Kansas.
So that's why you guys
Garden watched City,
it.
Kansas, yeah.
I have to feel like Mr. and Mrs. Nicholson at one point said, why in the hell are we watching this with
I mean, they
our
were
son?
Kicking in elementary school with the Tiger King, man. Come on.
What's his real name?
Joseph Allen Schreibvogel.
That's his real name?
Schreibvogel.
I'd probably go by the Tiger King as well. That is the out of left field question. Tonight's amazing cocktail, Redneck Riviera, small batch whiskey, and Fresco over crushed ice. It's summer. And then someone finally said their favorite documentary of all time from the 816 is Meth Storm. Queen of My Double Wide Trailer, another classic Sammy Kershaw song. So I ordered her a Slow Gin Fizz. I mean, you just can't beat Sammy Kershaw. But see, no one knew who he was because everybody liked Garth Brooks. But the real ones knew. The real ones knew Sammy Kershaw. I saw him live twice at Worlds of Fun back in the day. Grant Nicholson, Dusty Likens, that's the out of left field question. The greatest documentary you've ever seen. 913-586-7610. We get back into what the Royal expectations can be moving on through the June gauntlet as Boston leads 41-27 over Dallas with 8 minutes left in that first half of Game 5. It's over, baby! I'm Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson, this is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Somebody from the text line, I think this is the one that takes the cake, is the Don't F with Cats. They said it's the most insane documentary no one has seen. It's like a movie. It's so unbelievable. I just remember watching that. And that's what I always look at. When it comes to documentaries, like, I know it's midnight. I know the next episode is 48 minutes. I know I've got to be up at 7:30 in the morning, but I'm still pushing play and, like, hitting, yes, start the next episode. That's how, like, Don't F with Cats was. Because I remember my general manager at the time, He was like, have you watched this documentary yet? I'm like, no. He goes, oh, you have to watch it. And I had just finished up Our Father, or Our Godfather, I think it was. Brutal. Sicilian mob and stuff like that. Also, where do you rank like shows like Narcos? That's like a mockumentary. Is that kind of what that is? Like, it's like acting, but it's like real stories like that have been loosely fabricated. Because I didn't know who Pablo Escobar was until I watched Narcos. That's just me being honest.
Yeah, I think someone sent in the two Escobars, which was another 30 for 30 in. That was a good one as well. Talked a lot about Pablo Escobar.
Mm.
But I didn't ever finish Narcos.
I only watched the first season. I didn't watch season two or however many seasons there was. Cocaine Cowboys was good, too.
That was a good one. That's true.
Somebody says, priority been said, but the Ken Burns baseball doc is the best by far that I've ever seen. Yeah, it's insane. Ken Burns just, like, he knew what his field was and just never got out of it. War documentaries, baseball documentaries, country music documentaries, all sorts of Ken Burns docs.
Ken Burns loves America.
Yeah.
A lot.
Big time. Because, like, you know, when you turn on a Ken Burns doc, you know what your expectations are. Which leads us into... what are your expectations now after you've seen the Royals go 5-7 versus all those first place gauntlet teams in the month of June? Are you still where you were, Grant, at the end of May? Or do you have more or less expectations for this Royals team after what you've seen them go through over the last 2 weeks?
I think after the last 2 weeks, honestly, my expectations have, like, it's been strange how they've evolved because they've basically just solidified. Because before the season, you're like looking at the Pacoda rankings and stuff, and you're like, you know, it'd be fun. What if the Royals made the playoffs? Like, ha, 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 ha.
Right.
And then as the season started, they started hot. You're like, look, man, it could be crazy, but they could make the playoffs, like, if they keep playing like this. And then it was pretty real. You're like, oh, they could make the playoffs. After this last two-week stretch, like, now the expectation kind of becomes like, oh, yeah, they probably should make the playoffs. Like, if they don't cross that threshold, at least, to make it in as a wild card, even if there's a third wild card team.
Right.
I don't know if disappointing is the word you choose, but I definitely kind of expect that to be the level that they get to or right about there.
And I do this about once a week. I try to reiterate what the playoff odds are for your Kansas City Royals, who are 41-32, second place in the Central, 5 games behind Cleveland. They gave the Minnesota Twins a little bit of a narrow gap over these past couple weeks. They have a half-game lead in the second wildcard spot. Right now, as of today, June 17th, the Royals have an 82.3% chance to make the postseason, according to Baseball Reference. They have a 6.8% chance to make the World Series, which is interesting to see that, because depending on where your expectations are, which I think grants are fair, and I think that's where a lot of people's might be, is... look, I think we were just trying to have sustainable baseball throughout the summer. We wanted to have competitive play. We wanted to be able to go home, you know, during the week. Because, like, how many of you out there right now are upset that it's an off day? Because there's people that I talk to at my side gig, and I tell them, I'm like, you know what? It's Monday, no Royals game. I'm like, I know, I kind of miss it. I kind of want to be able to go home and turn the Royals on. Luckily for you, when the Royals don't play, you get after hours, which is just fine for most. But that's where your expectations lie, and where you can really evaluate them is when maybe the Royals don't play and you can take a breath after they play, you know, 17 games in 18 days or whatever it may be. And if your expectations are now higher, that's a gamble you take. That's the risk you take of being maybe more all in than you want to be. Because if you remember right, our expectations were just get me to the first day of training camp, which we know now is July 27th, and let the Royals be the lead topic of that day when everybody wants to hear how they look in shorts and t-shirts and helmets. What Patrick Mahomes is doing with the football. Does Hollywood Brown have the chemistry down yet? Whereas now our expectations are still the same. We're going to go into the July 27th show if we are in St. Joe for that morning show at 9 o'clock. And we're going to talk about the Royals because that's what they deserve. That's where they've been, and that's what they're doing. And when you looked at this gauntlet in June where you were going to play Cleveland for three, then you only played it for two because one got rained out and you split the series. Then you would move on and you would go for, you know, All right, let's see how they handle Seattle, another first-place team out of the West with a dynamite pitching staff that's better than the Royals, which is sad to say out loud because the Royals is a top-five rotation. Seattle just might have the second-best rotation in baseball. And you won that dramatic game on that Friday night. You came in to the next day and won the game against Seattle on Saturday. And then you had a chance for a sweep, went to extra innings, back and forth, competitive, and held your own, won two out of three. And then it was like, all right, the Yankees come to town for four. Just don't get smoked. And you played two competitive games. You had one game that was, or two games that were not so competitive. But that's the best team in baseball, the New York Yankees. What, $350 million payroll do for you? And really, there were only two games that stood out, which could be considered anomalies or outliers within this gauntlet. And then it was on to the Dodgers, where you had that game on Friday night, but it was competitive. You didn't get waxed. And then you won the game on Saturday, 7-2. And then you held your own against Tyler Glasnow. You didn't get absolutely, you know, whipped. You got blanked 3-0, but you're playing against a guy who could win the Cy Young Award every single year in the National League. Against a lineup that has Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, without Mookie Betts for a little bit now. Brady Singer probably doesn't want to go to L.A. anytime soon. Fractured hand, poor Mookie, love that guy. But again, your expectations should be where they were at the end of May. This team is competitive. This team has shown us what they can do. This team has shown us what they are able to do, and they're sustaining it, right? How many times do you see a team kind of show their true colors when they play teams of superior talent? There's no doubt in our minds, right, that the Yankees are better, the Dodgers are better, but that was it. I'd go toe-to-toe against Cleveland for 10 games and see what the result would be. I'd go toe-to-toe with Seattle for 10 games to see what the result would be. And you can learn some things by getting kicked in the teeth a couple times against the Yankees. You can learn some things losing a couple competitive games against the Dodgers. And you can move forward with that. And your expectations that we've had for this Royals Caribbean cruise all summer, going through the rough waters that were the beginning of June. And now you get to go into your next couple series and do exactly what your expectations can carry over through. And what those are, I'll explain on the other side of After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Tell him, Nelly. I remember this album came out. I was into this one. This, Why Do All Good Things Come to an End? I think Timberland produced this album. 50-39 with 3 minutes left in the first half. Celtics lead by 11. It's been a dominating performance by the guys in green. Jason Tatum just dropping dimes everywhere. I think he might have almost 10 dimes in the first half.
He might play his way into finals MVP. I didn't think it was possible, but he might do it.
Yeah, he's got 13-8 and zero turnovers. 8 assists is that number. We needed 5.5 or 6.5, and we got it. We just need Derek White to really start scoring. That's what we really need. As from seconds to points even more, it's 54-39. Boston leads. It's over, man. It ain't happening for Dallas. It is what it is. I just watched a video or a reel during the break. I thought it was interesting. Oh, good. Derek White just got hit in the nose. That's great. There's always one. 7's going to hit. Jason Tatum's assists are going to hit. Derek White needs 11 more points as he just met the face of the TD Gardens floor with his own face. But I watched this reel, and this girl said it's her go-to Culver's order. She got the double bacon deluxe money, but then she got cheese curds and said the key is to dip them in the caramel sauce. I know, dude. I had the same reaction. Thanks, dude. She goes, I love sweet and salty, just a little mixture here. I'm like, nah, man, you got to go ranch or marinara when it comes to the cheese curds from Culver's. By the way, one of the best side items that you can get at a fast food restaurant.
I've been hitting Culver's a lot lately. So good.
Tussie, it's Camino getting me all fired up, bro. Let's go. The boys are playing some ball. Feel like I could rip a phone book in half. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you're there, Camino. I think a lot of people are there, right? Like, it's a Monday night. You're like, what are we going to do tonight? Well, we got after hours. We got the NBA Finals. We don't have the Royals. But you'll have the Royals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Obviously, the late games Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday, it's a 2:37 first pitch, and then we'll be on after that. Somebody says, need that Tatum triple dub for a big win. You need them rebounds to start happening because the assists are going to be there and the points are going to be there. And Boston is just absolutely going to blow these guys away. There's your over 55.5 in the first half. Boston is up 15 points, 57-42, but everyone's expectations for Boston were, what, NBA title or bust, I think was probably the talk of the town for the Boston Celtics this year. Got to the finals a couple years ago, lost. Got to the finals this year. They've had control of it from the jump, right? Up 3-0. Derek White with a step back three. Bang!
Well, and they've lost, I think it's like three times now. Three times since the start of the playoffs.
Crazy. Because what, they swept Indiana, right? Because Halliburton got hurt and I think they swept Indiana.
I think so.
And then I think they only lost one.
One, maybe.
Yeah. But when you look at what the Royals, as we transition into the Royals and their expectations now, they've gone through the charted waters. And somebody had mentioned earlier, and that was my take on Thursday. Or no, it was Friday, because they had the late game Friday against the Dodgers. Derek White, you got to shoot that, Derek White. Come on, trail it up and give him the pass. Give him the pass. Come on, Jalen. You don't need to shoot anymore. You got enough points. Terrible radio. And when you look at what they did, and somebody said, and somebody brought this up, that sometimes you got to get kicked in the teeth to know where you're at when it comes to your morale, your toughness, and what your team belief is. And I believe that to a certain degree. But how many times, maybe we can give this analogy to those of you out there that have played video games or maybe played in sports leagues where you went up a level as opposed to what you normally play at, right? Sometimes when you played sports, when you played video games, you'd play all pro on Madden. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, all right, I'm going to play all Madden. My game is getting really good. I want to move on to the next, level. And you play all Madden online and, you're competitive with some teams and, you win a few and then there's a couple games where you get kicked, but then you finally realize, okay, if I want to be good or I want to sustain this, I've got to understand that I've got to beat guys that I know that I'm better than more often than not. And by more often than not, I got to win 2 out of 3 times. But against the other teams, I've learned what I got to do and what I can't do in order to stay at the sustainable level that I want to be at. And that's exactly what we're seeing as we transition into this part of the schedule, which will be Oakland Athletics for 3, Texas Rangers for 3, and then 3 against the Miami Marlins at home. In my opinion, you got to take 2 out of 3 from Oakland. You got to take 2 out of 3 from Miami, which would give you a 4-2 record. And then if you win 1 against Texas, that gives you a 5-4 record. That gives you an above 500, 2 road series and 1 home series. And then it brings you together for that series against Cleveland, where we can all agree. We talked about the power rankings earlier when it comes to what these teams were more superior, right? The power rankings of Yankees, Phillies, Orioles, Mariners, all these teams. Cleveland is not there. Cleveland is just the superior team in the AL Central. We all know they're not the Yankees. They're not the Dodgers. But now you know after playing the Dodgers and playing the Yankees in order to stay competitive, what you had to do to stay competitive. That can get you the edge over a team like the Cleveland Guardians. Now when you play the Cleveland Guardians for 4 in your own backyard and you take 3 out of 4, they now look at you and say, wow. They might have gone 5-7 under 500 against those 3 big conglomerates of 1 seeds or first place teams, but they came out of it a better team. And now when you play the Athletics for 3, the Rangers for 3, and the Marlins for 3, in those 9 games, if you can go 6-3, which would be a series win over all 3 teams, which is not out of pocket, that's you standing on business of what you believe that you are as a baseball club, then there's a really good chance that the Royals come out of this gauntlet much better than they actually are. What a shot to end the game or end the half for the Boston Celtics as they go up 21 with a 3 from Pritchard from half court. Series over. Game over. Finals over. As Boston goes up 67-46. And see, maybe we could talk about this as kind of an analogy to the Royals. It took Boston to lose to good teams in years past to find out what they needed to do to come back to be more successful and get the job done. You now know who the best teams are. You now know what it takes to stay at the top. You now know what you need to do in order to get the job done throughout. You played the toughest or the best of the best of the best, sir. And now you get to carry on throughout the season. You've survived gauntlet number one. There's another one coming. Right? There's another one coming where you'll play Philadelphia and a bunch of other teams in the same month. But the one thing you did was sustain. And the other thing that you can now do is you can look past that as a team that survived and played well. You were competitive against the Dodgers. You were competitive all but two games against the Yankees. You split against Cleveland and you won two out of three against one of the best pitching staffs in baseball and the best number one seed out of the West in Seattle, which now gives you the belief that, you know what? We can hang with everybody. And now when we play teams like Oakland and play teams like Miami, we know for a fact, we know what to do to beat them, and we know that we are the superior team. And I know there's a lot of you out there that your expectations are sweep the A's. You did it already this year. That'd be great. Would love that. That gives you the ability to have one drop where it probably shouldn't later on. Win three out of three versus the Oakland Athletics, win two out of three against Texas, and win two out of three against Miami. We are sitting back waiting and have an even more bigger, even more impactful series of four games that round out the end of June against the Cleveland Guardians, which I'll tell you this much, would love to see it. Would not be mad about it. But you go 6-3 in these next nine games, you're sitting pretty. You're sitting real pretty. You go 5-4 in these next nine games, I ain't mad about it. That's two series on the road on the West Coast slash ish coast, west, south, and then back home. But you'll play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you don't get a day off after today. But now you get to look at the schedule and get to say, okay, we got a little bit of calmer water on this cruise, and then it gets right back to being choppy when Cleveland comes to town for four, and you get to put it to the man of the division that you're going after that has a five-game lead still, but you still have a half-game lead against Minnesota, but it gets a little bit easier after it got really, really tough. Grant Nicholson, Dusty Likens. On the other side, we'll get to what missed the cut here on After Hours on a Monday night on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And this song is forever ruined for me, Grant, because one night on a Thursday night, we did the out of left field question. It was myself and Julio Sanchez. And somebody told me that this song is about heroin.
That's a bummer.
Right?
Yeah.
Should have known when the guy's name's Uncle Cracker. But yeah, someone's like, Follow Me by Uncle Cracker is about heroin. And then I started to think heroin as the narrative, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, makes it a little less fun.
Yeah, dude. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Under 10 minutes left of the show. 67-46 is the halftime score of Boston and Dallas. I believe it is over. We like to do a little segment at the end of the show called What Missed the Cut, which if you are familiar with how radio works, it just looks like it's absolutely windy. Like the way the trees are moving looks like the scene in Jurassic Park when the raptors are getting ready to come out and eat the cow.
We do for a little storm?
I don't think so. And I don't think it's supposed to rain for quite a while. I think we're officially there. Like where every day is just going to be 90 degrees, sunny, and your energy bill is going to get a, you're going to get a reminder every week. Your energy bill has gone up higher this month. Yep. Well aware. You no longer open the curtains in the morning at your house. You just leave them shut so the sun doesn't come in. Like everyone thinks that you're just singing Uncle Cracker at your house right now.
Every degree is precious.
Yeah. You ever like to feel old?
Like rarely.
What are you, 28?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bussin' with the Boys, obviously a Barstool podcast, right?
They had a tweet earlier today, and it says, Jerome Bettis, Ike Taylor, and Plaxico Burress all have sons who are playing for Notre Dame this year. If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. Pretty sure we both grew up watching Plaxico Burress, Jerome Bettis, and Ike Taylor play football. Because Burress is the one that shot himself in the leg, right?
Yeah.
And then gave the doctor money under the table.
I think he was with the Giants, though.
Yeah, he was wearing sweatpants at a nightclub, and the gun went off. And then he paid a doctor under the table, and basically two people's careers were over. The doctor that took the money, and Plaxico Burress' career was done. Which it might have been done before that. But it is interesting to see, like, what athletes, like, they were showing Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. They're like, man, he's just getting older. His career's winding down. I'm like, he's not 40 yet. Like, it's weird how sports, in my opinion, can make people seem older than they really are.
Well, Rajah Bell's kid just signed with Texas.
Oh.
Be a football player.
I wonder if he needs any NIL deals.
I think he's all right.
Yeah. That's one of those guys that any NIL deal he gets, he should just donate to charity. And I'm not here to tell people what they should do with their money, but either way.
The one that always got me was Frank Gore. He played for so long, and yeah, as soon as he retired, he had his kid was stud in college.
Yeah. We also talked about the June 17th day in sports history, and I was giving you the O.J. Simpson sort of thing. June 17th, 1994, all of this happened, which I believe this is one of those documentaries you can watch a 30 for 30 on. O.J. Simpson's police car chase. Arnold Palmer played in his final U.S. Open. The United States hosts its first World Cup. Tell him, Nelly. I remember this album came out. I was into this one. This, Why Do All Good Things Come to an End? I think Timberland produced this album. 50-39 with 3 minutes left in the first half. Celtics lead by 11. It's been a dominating performance by the guys in green. Jason Tatum just dropping dimes everywhere. I think he might have almost 10 dimes in the first half.
He might play his way into finals MVP. I didn't think it was possible, but he might do it.
Yeah, he's got 13-8 and zero turnovers. 8 assists is that number. We needed 5.5 or 6.5, and we got it. We just need Derek White to really start scoring. That's what we really need. As from seconds to points even more, it's 54-39. Boston leads. It's over, man. It ain't happening for Dallas. It is what it is. I just watched a video or a reel during the break. I thought it was interesting. Oh, good. Derek White just got hit in the nose. That's great. There's always one. 7's going to hit. Jason Tatum's assists are going to hit. Derek White needs 11 more points as he just met the face of the TD Garden's floor with his own face. But I watched this reel, and this girl said it's her go-to Culver's order. She got the double bacon deluxe money. But then she got cheese curds and said the key is to dip them in the caramel sauce. I know, dude. I had the same reaction. Dude. She goes, I love sweet and salty. Just a little mixture here. I'm like, nah, man. You got to go ranch or marinara when it comes to the cheese curds from Culver's. By the way, one of the best side items that you can get at a fast food restaurant.
I've been hitting Culver's a lot lately. So good.
Tussie, it's Camino getting me all fired up, bro. Let's go. The boys are playing some ball. Feel like I could rip a phone book in half. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you're there, Camino. I think a lot of people are there, right? Like, it's a Monday night. You're like, what are we going to do tonight? Well, we got after hours. We got the NBA Finals. We don't have the Royals. But you'll have the Royals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Obviously, the late games Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday, it's a 2:37 first pitch, and then we'll be on after that. Somebody says, need that Tatum triple dub for a big win. You need them rebounds to start happening because the assists are going to be there, and the points are going to be there. And Boston is just absolutely going to blow these guys away. There's your over 55.5 in the first half.
Boston is up 15 points, 57-42. But everyone's expectations for Boston were, what, NBA title or bust? I think was probably the talk of the town for the Boston Celtics this year. Got to the finals a couple years ago, lost. Got to the finals this year. They've had control of it from the jump, right? Up 3-0. Derek White with a step back three. Bang!
Well, and they've lost, I think it's like three times now. Three times since the start of the playoffs.
Crazy. Because what? They swept Indiana, right? Because Halliburton got hurt and I think they swept Indiana.
I think so.
And then I think they only lost
one.
Yeah. But when you look at what the Royals, as we transition into the Royals and their expectations now, they've gone through the charted waters. And somebody had mentioned earlier, and that was my take on Thursday. Or no, it was Friday, because they had the late game Friday against the Dodgers. Derek White, you got to shoot that, Derek White. Come on, trail it up and give him the pass. Give him the pass. Come on, Jalen. You don't need to shoot anymore. You got enough points. Terrible radio. And when you look at what they did, and somebody said, And somebody brought this up, that sometimes you got to get kicked in the teeth to know where you're at when it comes to your morale, your toughness, and what your team belief is. And I believe that to a certain degree. But how many times, maybe we can give this analogy to those of you out there that have played video games or maybe played in sports leagues where you went up a level as opposed to what you normally play at, right? Sometimes when you played sports, when you played video games, you'd play all pro on Madden. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, all right, I'm going to play all Madden. My game's getting really good. I want to move on to the next, level. And you play all Madden online and, you're competitive with some teams and, you win a few. And then there's a couple games where you get kicked, but then you finally realize, okay, if I want to be good or I want to sustain this, I've got to understand that I've got to beat guys that I know that I'm better than more often than not. And by more often than not, I got to win 2 out of 3 times. But against the other teams, I've learned what I got to do and what I can't do in order to stay at the sustainable level that I want to be at. And that's exactly what we're seeing as we transition into this part of the schedule, which will be Oakland Athletics for 3, Texas Rangers for 3, and then 3 against the Miami Marlins at home. In my opinion, you got to take 2 out of 3 from Oakland. You got to take 2 out of 3 from Miami, which would give you a 4-2 record. And then if you win 1 against Texas, that gives you a 5-4 record. That gives you an above 500, 2 road series and 1 home series. And then it brings you together for that series against Cleveland, where we can all agree. We talked about the power rankings earlier when it comes to what these teams were more superior, right? The power rankings of Yankees, Phillies, Orioles, Mariners, all these teams. Cleveland is not there. Cleveland is just the superior team in the AL Central. We all know they're not the Yankees. They're not the Dodgers. But now you know after playing the Dodgers and playing the Yankees in order to stay competitive, what you had to do to stay competitive. That can get you the edge over a team like the Cleveland Guardians. Now, when you play the Cleveland Guardians for 4 in your own backyard and you take 3 out of 4, they now look at you and say, wow, they might have gone 5-7 under 500 against those 3 big conglomerates of 1 seeds or first place teams, but they came out of it a better team. And now when you play the Athletics for 3, the Rangers for 3, and the Marlins for 3, in those 9 games, if you can go 6-3, which would be a series win over all 3 teams, which is not out of pocket, that's you standing on business of what you believe that you are as a baseball club, then there's a really good chance that the Royals come out of this gauntlet much better than they actually are. What a shot to end the game or end the half for the Boston Celtics as they go up 21 with a 3 from Pritchard from half court. Series over, game over, finals over, as Boston goes up 67-46. And see, maybe we could talk about this as kind of an analogy to the Royals. It took Boston to lose to good teams in years past to find out what they needed to do to come back to be more successful and get the job done. You now know who the best teams are. You now know what it takes to stay at the top. You now know what you need to do in order to get the job done throughout. You played the toughest or the best of the best of the best, sir. And now you get to carry on throughout the season. You've survived gauntlet number one. There's another one coming. Right? There's another one coming where you'll play Philadelphia and a bunch of other teams in the same month. But the one thing you did was sustain. And the other thing that you can now do is you can look past that as a team that survived and played well. You were competitive against the Dodgers. You were competitive all but two games against the Yankees. You split against Cleveland and you won two out of three against one of the best pitching staffs in baseball and the best number one seed out of the West in Seattle, which now gives you the belief that, you know what? We can hang with everybody. And now when we play teams like Oakland and play teams like Miami, we know for a fact, we know what to do to beat them, and we know that we are the superior team. And I know there's a lot of you out there that your expectations are sweep the A's. You did it already this year. That'd be great. Would love that. That gives you the ability to have one drop where it probably shouldn't later on. Win three out of three versus the Oakland Athletics, win two out of three against Texas, and win two out of three against Miami. We are sitting back waiting and have an even more bigger, even more impactful series of four games that round out the end of June against the Cleveland Guardians, which I'll tell you this much, would love to see it. Would not be mad about it. But you go 6-3 in these next nine games, you're sitting pretty. You're sitting real pretty. You go 5-4 in these next nine games, I ain't mad about it. That's two series on the road on the West Coast slash ish coast, west, south, and then back home. But you'll play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you don't get a day off after today. But now you get to look at the schedule and get to say, okay, we got a little bit of calmer water on this cruise, and then it gets right back to being choppy when Cleveland comes to town for four, and you get to put it to the man of the division that you're going after that has a five-game lead still, but you still have a half-game lead against Minnesota, but it gets a little bit easier after it got really, really tough. Grant Nicholson, Dusty Likens. On the other side, we'll get to what missed the cut here on After Hours on a Monday night on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And this song is forever ruined for me, Grant, because one night on a Thursday night, we did the Out of Left Field question. It was myself and Julio Sanchez. And somebody told me that this song is about heroin.
That's a bummer.
Right?
Yeah.
Should have known when the guy's name's Uncle Cracker. But yeah, someone's like, Follow Me by Uncle Cracker is about heroin. And then I started to think heroin as the narrative, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, makes it a little less fun.
Yeah, dude. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Under 10 minutes left of the show. 67-46 is the halftime score of Boston and Dallas. I believe it is over. We like to do a little segment at the end of the show called What Missed the Cut? Which, if you are familiar with how radio works, it just looks like it's absolutely windy. Like, the way the trees are moving looks like the scene in Jurassic Park when the raptors are getting ready to come out and eat the cow.
We do for a little storm?
I don't think so. And I don't think it's supposed to rain for quite a while. I think we're officially there. Like, where every day is just going to be 90 degrees, sunny, and your energy bill is going to get a, you're going to get a reminder every week. Your energy bill has gone up higher this month. Yep. Well aware, you no longer open the curtains in the morning at your house. You just leave them shut so the sun doesn't come in. Like, everyone thinks that you're just singing Uncle Cracker at your house right now.
Every degree is precious.
Yeah. You ever like to feel old?
Like, rarely.
What are you, 28?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bussin' with the Boys, obviously a Barstool podcast, right? They had a tweet earlier today, and it says, Jerome Bettis, Ike Taylor, and Plaxico Burress all have sons who are playing for Notre Dame this year. If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. Pretty sure we both grew up watching Plaxico Burress, Jerome Bettis, and Ike Taylor play football. Because Burress is the one that shot himself in the leg, right?
Yeah.
And then gave the doctor money under the table.
I think he was with the Giants, though.
Yeah, he was wearing sweatpants in a nightclub, and the gun went off. And then he paid a doctor under the table, and basically, two people's careers were over. The doctor that took the money and Plaxico Burress's career was done, which it might have been done before that. But it is interesting to see like what athletes, like they were showing Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. They're like, man, he's just getting older. His career's winding down. I'm like, he's not 40 yet. Like, it's weird how sports, in my opinion, can make people seem older than they really are.
Well, Roger Bell's kid just signed with Texas.
Oh.
Be a football player.
I wonder if he needs any NIL deals.
I think he's all right.
Yeah. That's one of those guys, any NIL deal he gets, he should just donate to charity. And I'm not here to tell people what they should do with their money, but either way.
The one that always got me was Frank Gore. He played for so long, and yeah. As soon as he retired, he had his kid was stud in college.
Yeah. We also talked about the June 17th day in sports history, and I was giving you the O.J. Simpson sort of thing. June 17th, 1994, all of this happened, which I believe this is one of those documentaries you can watch a 30 for 30 on. O.J. Simpson's police car chase. Arnold Palmer played in his final U.S. Open. The United States hosts its first World Cup. Game 5 of the 1994 NBA Finals against New York and Houston. The New York Rangers have their Stanley Cup parade, and Ken Griffey Jr. ties the most home runs before June 30th, which was 31. Baseball would later go on and have a strike. O.J. Simpson would later go on and be acquitted in court. The United States, I believe, would lose to Brazil and get knocked out of the World Cup. Houston would win the NBA title, and Arnold Palmer would still be known as having the greatest drink of all time. You can't beat an Arnold Palmer.
Especially in the summer, man.
Mm.
It's different.
I drink one every day. Almost every day. My two drinks in the summer are an Arnold Palmer and coffee in the morning. And I really don't think you can beat that.
I know a guy that used to drink Arnold Palmer while playing recreational sports.
I don't hate that.
It's pretty strange, but it worked for him.
I don't hate that. I never really got your opinion of what you thought of Rory McIlroy and the way he left. Mad about it, don't care.
I don't care is harsh, but it doesn't move me. Okay. Like, my whole thoughts on the feeling were, don't really like Bryson. I guess I'd be rooting for Rory in a head-to-head situation, but
right.
I just really don't like Bryson at all.
Yeah.
When he got really beefed up and when he walked past Brooks Koepka and Koepka with the spikes,
yeah.
And Koepka made it look like he wanted to throw him through a window, it's kind of when I made my decision.
I also thought that whole sort of relationship was I felt like that was kind of like forced.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really real.
Did seem a little bit media created, media driven.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I don't really care. Like, I am pro athletes like facing the music. Like, if he had won the tournament, he would have spent 2 hours talking to the media.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't give him 15 minutes after the game.
Not even 15. Give him like 4 questions. Like, all right, that's it. I'm out of here. I got things to do.
Yeah.
Make up a lie. My kid's not feeling well. I got to get home. Okay, fine. No one's going to question that.
My flight to Scotland or whatever leaves in an hour. I got to bounce.
I just had a tough time because I have a group of buddies that not all of them live here. Like, 2 live in Arkansas, or 3 live in Arkansas. 1 lives in St. Louis, and I'm the lone Missourian. And we were talking about, you know, biggest choke jobs in sports and where does Rory's U.S. Open at 24 rank. And I was like, it's not even in the top 10, but it's one to be mentioned. Like, it's not Greg Norman of the Masters. It's not the Golden State Warriors up 3-1. It's not the Cleveland, at the time, the Indians above the Chicago White Sox up 3-1 in the World Series. Right. But the thing that just irked me, and I had to realize, like, hey, you know what? You're a media member. You guys do your job on content and, you know, audio, and that's what drives this organization, this sort of business. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you want to be the face of something, you have to face the music, good or bad, right? Like, when politicians don't win on election night, they don't not go to the podium. Like, when the vote for vote yes on the new stadiums didn't pass, John Sherman and Mark Donovan were right there on the cameras in front of the microphone like, yeah, this is a surprise to us. We don't like it. They still spoke. They were the two faces that led the campaign to vote yes. Right? Mahomes loses a heartbreaker or gets his absolute tail whipped by the Oakland Raiders on Christmas Day. He still goes to that podium. He's like, I'm the quarterback of this team. I have a duty to do it, and this is what I got to do. Bobby Witt Jr. makes an error, and the team ends up losing. I got to be better. I got to do better. 23 years old at the time when he said that, still faced the music, even though he doesn't want to.
I think you're right. I mean, you've got a point. I mean, there's a certain level of like intestinal fortitude. If you want to be like a top tier professional athlete, that you got to take your lumps when you lose. You know, you just, you kind of have to do it. I think it's a mentality more than anything.
It's just one of those things that in sports, and this is where we'll wrap this show up. Yeah, Red Sox came back 3-1 against the Yanks, another one. But in sports and in this profession that they do, and I know maybe sometimes as fans and as media members, we expect too much, or maybe we expect more than we should get. There are certain expectations that when you want to be the guy or you're the person, good or bad, somebody's got to take the answers. And if you leave in a way that seems a little sour, you're going to have to put up with the sort of backlash that comes with it. And Rory still has not been anywhere other than on an iPhone with making a notes page that says, congratulations, blah, 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 here it is. Bryson DeChambeau lost to Xander Schauffele by one stroke and still was able to stick around, shake his hand, and go afterward. And it doesn't have to be something where you put in this, you know, well-organized, like, I want to thank everybody that came out. I want to thank my family. I want to thank God. Whatever it is you do, you just got to be like, hey, you know what? It didn't happen. It didn't go my way. Good for Bryson. I'll be back stronger than ever for the next major tournament. See you next time. Speaking of seeing you next time, this show's over. You hear the music. Big crybaby energy, but I can't imagine that feeling. No, I can't either. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Grant Nicholson. As always, go do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's just simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and be kind. I love you all, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock until 7:30. Then Vern takes over. Grant, have a good night. Kansas City, good night.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
This song is forever ruined for me, Grant, because one night on a Thursday night, we did the out of left field question. It was myself and Julio Sanchez. And somebody told me that this song is about heroin.
That's a bummer.
Right?
Yeah.
Should have known when the guy's name's Uncle Cracker. But yeah, someone's like, Follow Me by Uncle Cracker is about heroin. And then I started to think heroin as the narrative, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, makes it a little less fun.
Yeah, dude. I appreciate everybody listening tonight. Under 10 minutes left of the show. 67-46 is the halftime score of Boston and Dallas. I believe it is over. We like to do a little segment at the end of the show called What Missed the Cut, which if you are familiar with how radio works, it just looks like it's absolutely windy. Like the way the trees are moving looks like the scene in Jurassic Park when the raptors are getting ready to come out and eat the cow.
We do for a little storm?
I don't think so. And I don't think it's supposed to rain for quite a while. I think we're officially there. Like where every day is just going to be 90 degrees, sunny, and your energy bill is going to get a, you're going to get a reminder every week. Your energy bill has gone up higher this month. Yep. Well aware. You no longer open the curtains in the morning at your house. You just leave them shut so the sun doesn't come in. Like everyone thinks that you're just singing Uncle Cracker at your house right now.
Every degree is precious.
Yeah. You ever like to feel old?
Like rarely.
What are you, 28?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bussin' with the Boys, obviously a Barstool podcast, right? They had a tweet earlier today, and it says, Jerome Bettis, Ike Taylor, and Plaxico Burress all have sons who are playing for Notre Dame this year. If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. Pretty sure we both grew up watching Plaxico Burress, Jerome Bettis, and Ike Taylor play football. Because Burress is the one that shot himself in the leg, right?
Yeah.
And then gave the doctor money under the table.
I think he was with the Giants, though.
Yeah, he was wearing sweatpants at a nightclub, and the gun went off. And then he paid a doctor under the table, and basically two people's careers were over. The doctor that took the money, and Plaxico Burress' career was done. Which it might have been done before that. But it is interesting to see, like, what athletes, like, they were showing Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. They're like, man, he's just getting older. His career's winding down. I'm like, he's not 40 yet. Like, it's weird how sports, in my opinion, can make people seem older than they really are.
Well, Rajah Bell's kid just signed with Texas.
Oh.
Be a football player.
I wonder if he needs any NIL deals.
I think he's all right.
Yeah. That's one of those guys that any NIL deal he gets, he should just donate to charity. And I'm not here to tell people what they should do with their money, but either way.
The one that always got me was Frank Gore. He played for so long, and yeah. As soon as he retired, he had his kid was stud in college.
Yeah. We also talked about the June 17th day in sports history, and I was giving you the O.J. Simpson sort of thing. June 17th, 1994, all of this happened, which I believe this is one of those documentaries you can watch a 30 for 30 on. O.J. Simpson's police car chase. Arnold Palmer played in his final U.S. Open. The United States hosts its first World Cup. Game 5 of the 1994 NBA Finals against New York and Houston. The New York Rangers have their Stanley Cup parade. And Ken Griffey Jr. ties the most home runs before June 30th, which was 31. Baseball would later go on and have a strike. O.J. Simpson would later go on and be acquitted in court. The United States, I believe, would lose to Brazil and get knocked out of the World Cup. Houston would win the NBA title. And Arnold Palmer would still be known as having the greatest drink of all time. You can't beat an Arnold Palmer.
Especially in the summer, man.
Mm.
It's different.
I drink one every day. Almost every day. My two drinks in the summer are an Arnold Palmer and coffee in the morning. And I really don't think you can beat that.
I know a guy that used to drink Arnold Palmer while playing recreational sports.
I don't hate that.
It's pretty strange, but it worked for him.
I don't hate that. I never really got your opinion of what you thought of Rory McIlroy and the way he left. Mad about it, don't care.
I don't care is harsh, but it doesn't move me. Okay. Like, my whole thoughts on the feeling were, don't really like Bryson. I guess I'd be rooting for Rory in a head-to-head situation, but
right.
I just really don't like Bryson at all.
Yeah.
When he got really beefed up and when he walked past Brooks Koepka and Koepka with the spikes,
yeah,
and Koepka made it look like he wanted to throw him through a window, it's kind of when I made my decision.
I also thought that whole sort of relationship was I felt like that was kind of like forced.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really real.
Did seem a little bit media created, media driven.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I don't really care. Like, I am pro athletes like facing the music. Like, if he had won the tournament, he would have spent 2 hours talking to the media.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't give him 15 minutes after the game.
Not even 15. Give him like 4 questions. Like, all right, that's it. I'm out of here. I got things to do.
Yeah.
Make up a lie. My kid's not feeling well. I got to get home. Okay, fine. No one's going to question that.
My flight to Scotland or whatever leaves in an hour. I got to bounce.
I just had a tough time because I have a group of buddies that not all of them live here. Like, 2 live in Arkansas or 3 live in Arkansas. 1 lives in St. Louis and I'm the lone Missourian. And we were talking about, you know, biggest choke jobs in sports and where does Rory's U.S. Open at 24 rank. And I was like, it's not even in the top 10, but it's one to be mentioned. Like, it's not Greg Norman of the Masters. It's not the Golden State Warriors up 3-1. It's not the Cleveland at the time, the Indians above the Chicago White Sox up 3-1 in the World Series. Right. But the thing that just irked me, and I had to realize, like, hey, you know what? You're a media member. You guys do your job on content and, you know, audio, and that's what drives this organization, this sort of business. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you want to be the face of something, you have to face the music, good or bad, right? Like, when politicians don't win on election night, they don't not go to the podium. Like, when the vote for vote yes on the new stadiums didn't pass, John Sherman and Mark Donovan were right there on the cameras in front of the microphone, like, yeah, this is a surprise to us. We don't like it. They still spoke. They were the two faces that led the campaign of vote yes. Right? Mahomes loses a heartbreaker or gets his absolute tail whip by the Oakland Raiders on Christmas Day. He still goes to that podium. He's like, I'm the quarterback of this team. I have a duty to do it, and this is what I got to do. Bobby Witt Jr. makes an error, and the team ends up losing. I got to be better. I got to do better. 23 years old at the time when he said that. Still face the music, even though he doesn't want to.
I think you're right. I mean, you've got a point. I mean, there's a certain level of, like, intestinal fortitude if you want to be, like, a top-tier professional athlete that you got to take your lumps when you lose, you know? You kind of have to do it. I think it's a mentality more than anything.
It's just one of those things that in sports, and this is where we'll wrap this show up. Yeah, Red Sox came back 3-1 against the Yanks, another one. But in sports and in this profession that they do, and I know maybe sometimes as fans and as media members we expect too much, or maybe we expect more than we should get, there are certain expectations that when you want to be the guy or you're the person, good or bad, somebody's got to take the answers. And if you leave in a way that seems a little sour, you're going to have to put up with the sort of backlash that comes with it. And Rory still has not been anywhere other than on an iPhone with making a notes page that says, congratulations, blah, 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 here it is. Bryson DeChambeau lost to Xander Schauffele by one stroke and still was able to stick around, shake his hand, and go after it. And it doesn't have to be something where you put in this, you know, well-organized, like, I want to thank everybody that came out. I want to thank my family. I want to thank God. Whatever it is you do, you just got to be like, hey, you know what? It didn't happen. It didn't go my way. Good for Bryson. I'll be back stronger than ever for the next major tournament. See you next time. Speaking of seeing you next time, this show's over. You hear the music. Big crybaby energy, but I can't imagine that feeling. No, I can't either. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Grant Nicholson. As always, go do nice things for people you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's just simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe and be kind. I love you all, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock until 7:30. Then Vern takes over. Grant, have a good night. Kansas City, good night.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.